Right. No, beautifully said. By the way, and we have nothing against BMWs. They're beautiful cars, but sometimes they blow up. Hey, Stephen. What's up?
What's going on?
Nice to be here, man.
I think I would want to say the same to you. I love the setup. Is that a real piano in the background?
Yeah, here we go.
Is that actually a prop or is that something that you actually play?
Yeah, I play jazz piano. I mean, I could flip around and we could do a little session. But
a man of many talents.
That's too much pressure, though. That's a lot of pressure.
So for the audience listening, and by the way, my primary audience for this show is typically professionals who are either independent or working in professional services firms like consulting and all that stuff. By the way, is your correct pronunciation Stephen or Stefan?
Stephen, yeah. Thanks for asking.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure. So I discovered Stephen on TikTok. And at the time when I first discovered your TikTok profile where you were making really cool content, I think you were at like 3,000 followers or something. And today, just before this podcast, I checked, you're almost at 36,000 followers on TikTok. Yeah,
isn't that crazy? Old guy with the, you know, with the following on TikTok. Can you believe it?
So for the audience listening, they're probably wondering why we're talking about TikTok. So please go ahead and, you know, take a few minutes to just sort of introduce yourself, what you do.
Yeah, so I'm Stephen Pope. I run SGP Labs, and we help people create persuasive video, and we help them scale that content onto multiple platforms efficiently with a cost-effective team, and ultimately to generate revenue. So it's pretty straightforward. Make good video and make it all over the place. In that order, you got to make it good first before you do it everywhere. Otherwise you have garbage in, you have garbage out all over the place. So I mean, that's it in a nutshell.
That makes actually a lot of sense. Well, one of the reasons why I really wanted to have this conversation with you was that you have this ability to connect the dots in terms of you're not only doing content creation and building an audience, but you're also teaching people how to take that audience that you've created and turn them into customers.
Yeah.
Typically, content creators, they have an audience, but they're not necessarily customers. So you're able to build the all the processes and all the basically the systems, automations to allow to turn that audience or all that attention into potential customers. One challenge that I've seen people go through is that they're super talented, but they don't know where to start, what's the first step to take, and how to even consider video, which you sort of champion. So do you want to sort of start?
So the framework that I use is like, number one has to start with a belief that it's going to work. Because I think that's where a lot of people get stuck, is that they're like, I don't know if this is going to work. I mean, they see everybody else doing it. Like, it's not working. You can be guaranteed it's not working for everybody, but there's reasons for that. But number one, you got to believe it's going to work. You're seeing some people that you know are successful. So you just have to envision that you could do it too. That's what I did. I sold my previous company. I saw Gary Vee doing stuff. I was like, he seems like he knows what he's doing. I trust him. Like, he doesn't seem like he's like pulling my leg. And so I was just like, you know what? I don't know how to do this, but I believe I can. And so, and if I could go back and tell myself what I know now, I would just do it faster. I would just believe it even more. But it's hard for people to do that. So belief and then commitment, right? Those are the two things that have to happen for you to take the next step. And then the next step is really just trying to identify, like, what is actually, assuming you believe it's going to work, assuming you're committed, no matter what, then what is it that's actually blocking you? Are you afraid of camera? Do you not know what to say? Do you not know how to articulate yourself? You know, so you have to just be able to be aware of what's blocking you. And then you got to go get the training on that particular thing, because there's 1.5 million people that will help you do one of those things. If you can just sit down and just like meditate for a second, be like, okay, why am I not doing this? And I was like terrified of doing video. Like when I was a tech guy, I built a software company. I didn't like to do public speaking. I didn't like to be on video. I like to just be in my room, just like inventing stuff, right? And so when I decided I was going to do video, I was like terrified for probably a couple of weeks. I couldn't sleep, you know, but I had the belief and the commitment. So then I just did it and I got the training on how to do it. And then fast forward, it's just like driving my business and I'm helping other people do the same thing.
That's incredible. In fact, I have been following your journey for quite some time, and you have talked about, you know, your initial fears and apprehensions on getting in front of the camera. So are there any specific rituals that you follow to overcome some of that anxiety and fear? Or, you know, because you also help and coach other professionals, tips and tactics and tricks that would be, you know, to prepare yourself to get in front of the camera?
Yeah, number one is the belief in the commitment, because the commitment's going to make you do something when you don't want to. But then it's like, so if it's fear, then, you know, practice is going to be one thing. But like what I find is that it usually relates to something of more like insecurity, you know, like they're not really sure what to say. And so how can we go through and develop a video where you feel like, man, this is a really good video? Because you want somebody to walk away from your video being like, wow, I'm glad I just saw that video, right? So if you feel that that's going to happen and you feel like you're making an impact in someone's life, you tend to stop thinking about yourself and your fears, and you start to think about how is that going to help that person. And that's probably one of the best ways. Because I think it's like imposter syndrome. It's like you don't believe you have self-worth. And so creating value is the way to kind of bridge that.
What's really cool about what you're doing on TikTok is that you've been sharing this journey from day one, that, you know, these are the emotions I'm going through. This is what I'm feeling. And that just makes the whole experience super authentic. So even for the audience listening, you could even say that, hey, you know, I am trying to make this work. I am feeling anxious and I'm trying to find my voice. Not in those exact words, but you could. Right. Of course, I don't want to fill people's mouths with certain words and I don't want to project, but I have seen you do it in a really authentic, honest, and transparent sort of way. And that's one of the reasons that I really liked your channel and content. So,
well, that brings up one important point, right? Because sometimes people are afraid. So sometimes what I notice is there's kind of two ways to make content. There's like, you can go back into the past and you can articulate things you did. You can say, hey, here's how I set up this microphone. Here's how I scaled to multiple platforms, right? So you can talk about what you did, or you can talk about what you plan to do. And I think a lot of people have a hard time talking about what they plan to do because they haven't done it yet. And so they feel like they're an imposter. But then if you think about like all the best innovators in the world, they all said they were going to do something, things that they hadn't done. And they said, when I do this, it's going to like save the world. It's going to like, I'm going to reinvent computers like Steve Jobs did, right? Like they had these huge claims that were not proven yet. And that's okay. Like that's what makes you an innovator. So like, I think what people get hung up is like, if I say something that's not true, then I'm fronting or I'm faking it till I make it. When in reality, all you have to do is just say you haven't done it yet and this is what you're going to do. And then instead of being a faker, you're an innovator. And if you're wrong, you're just someone that was cool to make a mistake. And that's pretty badass, actually. Like you're cool because you're willing to go out there into the world and say something and be wrong and just keep moving. And just because I've been wrong, but like I've been right. And so people only remember the stuff that you were right.
That is actually such a good point. The fear that people have of failing in publicly. So what would you say to that and how to sort of overcome that fear or anxiety?
I mean, this is going to sound very motherly, but like, you know, like failure is part of life, right? So like at any given moment, you are not what you could be doing. So like you might have a product. It's going to be a better product in 6 months. And so like there's a weird dichotomy there, right? Like you're selling something that's not as good as it could be. So people aren't going to get as good as results as they could be if they bought it 6 months from now or 9 months from now. And so of course you're going to fail. Right. And so, but for whatever reason, like I had a BMW and it had this catastrophic failure and like the engine blew up, but like they made it right. They fixed it. And so like BMW is still moving forward, even though my engine blew up. And so they're not worried that like one engine blows up, right? So it's like you have to understand. You know what I mean? Like
engine blew up. Which BMW is this?
Yeah. Don't buy that one, right?
By the way, I recently sold my BMW.
maybe that was a good move. But you understand my point, though, right? Like BMW isn't going to give up because Stephen Pope's BMW blew up. They did make it good. They paid for it. It was under warranty. But you see what I'm saying? It's like products fail and you're going to fail. And so the trick is just like, why not just figure out all those failures as quickly as possible, right? Like if you're just going to wait around for these things not to happen, they're going to happen anyway. They're just going to happen at a slower rate. And therefore you're just going to grow slower. And so I was just actually talking to my wife about this earlier. It's like, how can you just keep moving forward with all this kind of like collateral damage that's going on outside of your, as you barrel down the road, right? Like just how can you just put the blinders on? And not to say that you're not going to do what's right when those things happen. Like if you make a mistake and you offend somebody or your product doesn't do what it should, you make those things right, but can't wait around for perfection.
Right. No, beautifully said. By the way, and we have nothing against BMWs. They're beautiful cars, but sometimes they blow up. Just in case BMW ever wants to hire me to work with them or Steven. Okay, so a couple of points that you sort of outlined is for people who are professionals who are potentially considering getting in front of using video as a way to communicate and build an audience and eventually turn those into customers. I think the first thing, and if you're just starting out, is to just have that belief that it's going to work.
Right.
And because that mindset is very critical. And then the other overarching piece that we just touched on is how to sort of look at fear in the face and be okay with failing. Because like you said, big companies also fail quite publicly sometimes also. And also with their potential individual customers as well.
Right.
But they know how to move forward from there.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So now we have someone. I'm just imagining that there's this professional who potentially works in a consulting environment, and you know they're like a subject matter expert. Maybe they are an expert in technology or some sort of HR thing, or some sort of Salesforce, Oracle, whatever that subject matter expertise area is, and they want to become a little bit more client facing, and typically they might not have all this fancy equipment. They might not even know how to edit.
Sure.
So what's the first step they can do, and with the things available around to them, how would you even recommend or tell them to start?
Yeah. And I'll talk to two different people. There's going to be someone that has like almost no money. Right.
Right.
And so that like, just grab your webcam, clean up your background, make sure it looks good. Like don't have like your baby diapers and like, you know, like just things back there that like, you know, clean it up, make it look professional. It doesn't need to like have the fancy lighting and all that stuff, but get a good webcam. And then, assuming you can't even hire an editor, there's a program called Descript. It's basically video editing for dummies. It's like video editing, like it's a Word document. That's the best way I can put it. It's like you will not believe how easy it is to professionally edit your video. So number one, just start with that and just get going. And we could talk about what you might film and all that kind of stuff if you want after that. And now if you've got a little bit more money, then still probably start with a webcam. I've got a couple of fancy cameras pointed at me right now, but I just upgraded to these and I built a whole business on webcams. And you can get good ones like the Logitech Brio. It's like $200. Looks pretty good. Because these other cameras that I've got, like they take a little bit of like, I've got lighting here that you can't see. Although I guess you can kind of see it in the reflection there, but that takes like time to set up. And it's kind of, it can be a blocker. Like you could just sit there and fiddle with it for the next 3 months. And it's, you have to get into the settings of the camera. So that's, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. I always say you should get to recording as quickly as possible. And then if you have a little bit of money, just get a video editor so you don't have to think about it. And it's not that hard to find one that's pretty cost effective. You could go to Upwork and find somebody.
So what would you tell people who, you know, are like, because I don't have the camera, because I don't have the gear, you know, I can't start?
I would just say that they're lying because they have a phone.
In fact, a lot of the initial videos I used to make for my YouTube channel was just using my iPhone. And I guess the only other equipment I purchased was like a little mic just so I could get really good audio. But that's pretty much it. How many followers did you build up to before you actually got your first camera?
Oh, well, my first like DSLR kind of camera.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally just got these cameras like 2 months ago. So I had well over 30,000.
Holy shit. Okay. So now for the audience listening, it's possible to build 30,000 followers and audience with just your phone and your webcam. Your proof of that. So there's no excuses.
There is no excuse.
Okay. So now you've got first the belief, then two, how to sort of face that fear. It's okay to fail. And I think one thing that you talked about, which was really beautiful, is that you can either talk about your past experiences of what you have done, which is, you know, from a credibility, you know, from a qual perspective.
Or
from a POV and future perspective of what you're going to do or what you see happening in the future. From your personal experience, have you seen any engagement preferences over one or the other in terms of performance, how that content performs?
I think they both can perform well. I think when you're, I will say when you're talking about past experiences, the better approach that I'm seeing is like showing and not telling. So like you'll see a lot of me where I'm like, I show my screen. Like I just pull my phone out and I'm like literally like it couldn't be any more ghetto. I'm just like on the screen is recording something and showing the diagram, right? Like if you can diagram something and show the diagram, then like people when they see it, it's like show, don't tell. That's the best way to put it. So like if you can kind of somehow demonstrate it versus just sitting in front of the camera and saying, yeah, I built this. And I think it just has a harder time to connect. So that works really well. But then I think the future perspectives, I think, help a lot because, you know, it's like it's probably going to be more unique. It's going to stand out. It's going to cut through the noise a bit because you're making some prediction. And in order to do that, you kind of have to think it through a little bit. Plus, the thing that people don't always realize is that by doing so, you actually will develop new ideas. By forcing yourself to talk about the future, you will create the future. And so like the products I have now have all been through actually talking about what I'm going to do and why I'm doing it and what I think is going to happen. And then people responding to those ideas and giving me validation around them. And so they both work well. I think you probably want to have a mixture. If you're a consultant, you're going to look, unless you've done some really interesting things, you're going to probably blend in more if you're just talking about the past as opposed to what you think is going to happen in the future.
How would you recommend, you know, looking at content and what kind of content to record and how to
approach? So I will say like the more niche it is and the more like repetitious, like the more you repeat it, the better it's going to work. Unless you're like Gary Vee or Alex Hormozi, where you've built $100 billion company, like it doesn't really matter if you created a, you know, a $10 million company or $20 million. A lot of people have done that. So it gives you authority in the sense that people trust you, but it's not so crazy that like they'll just listen to anything you have to say. So like the more niche it is and the more specific it is to the people that you want to talk to, the better, and the more you repeat yourself, the better. And so the one thing that I have found that is very helpful for that is that if you only create content for yourself, so you sit down and you script out a video and you script out 3 videos, 4 videos, when you go to do that the next week, you're going to have a hard time mentally repeating yourself because you're just going to think to yourself, oh, I just did this, so I can't do it again. Now you can do it again. You can just take a slightly different angle. Nobody actually saw the other video. You can, but your brain is going to say, no, I can't. So one of the ways is like, get yourself on podcasts. Like right now, like I've got you asking me questions. you're asking me a lot of the same questions. I've answered these before. I'm just getting better and better at articulating it, getting deeper and more nuanced in my answers. And so that kind of gives me permission. And it also, you come at it at a slightly different angle than somebody else did. And so I'm going to answer it slightly different. And so that's the way I can do it. I can record myself as well. Like I have a camera off to the side right here and it's recording me the audio and I can then take that and make clips from it. And so that's like a really good way. Like getting on podcasts is a great way because people ask you questions. The more niche you are. So like I make good video and I help it scale. So like my message is very fine tuned. You're probably going to ask me about that stuff. And so I just keep saying the same things over and over, just in slightly different tweaks and that kind of thing.
Right. So I think there's a couple of things that you've talked about. One is that it's okay to repeat yourself because firstly, by practice of saying something or conveying an idea a couple of times, you're going to get more nuance, you're going to get deeper, and you're also going to be able to say it in different ways. So that's one point that you sort of outlined. The other one is it's okay to repeat yourself.
Yeah, and you're going to come across more confident every time you say it. It's just going to be like,
that's a really good point.
Like this, man, this guy seems like he knows what he's saying. Like, well, it's because he's said it a bunch of times. And you get really good at articulating. I think this is one of the, another important point about this is that if you're not doing this yet, most people, not everybody, but a large majority is like, this is the common question is like, how many videos do I have to make before I get a client? Right. And it never works that way. So, so the trick is just like, what are the other values here other than just getting clients? Well, it's learning how to articulate yourself. It's learning how to get confidence. It's learning how to go deep on these subjects. It's learning what people want and how they react and what they comment so you can develop better products. And like, there's just a lot of other skills that come with this that are actually going to help you get the clients that people don't realize. It's like, it's too short-sighted. So they have a short-term perspective that gives them the wrong intention when they go to create the content. And then the content doesn't work. So you have to have a long-term perspective. And then if you have a long-term perspective, you're going to do everything for the right reason. And then lo and behold, those clients will come very quickly.
So have the belief, but also have the long-term view and then be okay with starting with whatever skill level you're at. By repetition, you are going to get more confident. And ultimately, that confidence is going to help you convert audience to customers.
Yeah, we can't beat around the bush. Like your content is only going to work if it's really good. Because there are other people creating contents. So like a lot of times people are like, you know, where's the dashboard? Where's the analytics, right? Like, I want to see like, well, you know what it is? It's just like people just start sending you messages. They're just like, hey, Steve, I saw your video. That was really cool. And you're like, oh, okay. So this is starting to work, right? Like, that's how you know. Like, it's so simple. Like, but people want it to be like with all this automation. And I talk a lot about automation because I'm a tech guy. Like every like and comment is an actual person on the other side. So like, you don't want to lose that connection. So it's just like, it's literally just like people are asking you questions. We're like, hey, can you do another video or tell me more about that? So what I did was, it's like, it was, think of just a grid and along the top is like the main pillar of things that you're going to talk about. Right. So it's like, I talk about video. I talk about like persuasive video. I talk about systems to scale video. I talk about how to make money with video. And like entrepreneurial things from time to time. So those are my main pillars all across the top, right? And then down the side, you can create different prompts. Like, what are myths in the industry? What are your thought leadership perspectives about these things? What is a worksheet or a diagram, right? So now you're building this little, I call it like an idea matrix, right? So you can just kind of like pick a spot and then based off of where you are, it's going to be okay. What's a myth around persuasive video, right? And so that's a good way to just like keep you fresh because then you can just kind of like if you got four things across the top and then you got 10 different prompts, you got 40 different things to kind of like poke at you. Now, I think that's a great way to get started. But I think in today's world, you have such an opportunity to actually engage with real people that you won't actually need that. So if you go out to social media and you're just out there, people are going to be flooding you with real questions. And those are going to be the best ones. You don't need to sit in a boardroom and just like pretend to be the client. Like you can just talk to the client, right? And that's going to be way more effective. So that's the way I would look at it is like there are tools that can get you off the ground. But at a certain point, like once you get, like once you take off and you're flying on your own, you're going to want to just let those tools, those comfort tools, go away and just start to interact with the real people. And just, and here's the cool thing is, like, if you're active on social media on a day-to-day basis, this is just like a rolling thing. Like, you don't even have to think about it. It's just like you're always answering these questions. As the market evolves in real time, your understanding of it will as well. So if you think about the people that are in the boardroom, like pretending that they're essentially pretending that they're talking to somebody, think of how much faster you're going to move in the marketplace compared to the people that are just like in the boardroom. Like, so let's talk about like that, you know, that persona with the fake picture and the diagram. Like, what does this person care about? It's going to be night and day as to what reality is.
That's actually a really, really good point. I think velocity in terms of what's happening, what people are talking about. I think two things come to my mind from on the basis of what you just said. I think solopreneurs, professionals who are sort of maybe freelancers or have like a small business, I think this would definitely apply 100% to them. But when I think about like professionals who are working in larger firms, because they are interacting with clients on a daily basis, maybe have like a little notepad and just, you know, frequent questions that you keep, you know, answering with the client, just write them down separate and say, oh, wait, I could actually make a video on that. And so you have real live prompts on your day-to-day job, which are real problems. Of course, now there's some compliance issues in terms of things that they can't share publicly, but you could still, based on, you know, the conversation that you're having with your clients on a daily basis, whether you're working on an RFP, or whether you're, you know, on the delivery side doing actual work with the client, what are some simple things that you could generalize and share?
That's true. So that's a great place to pull from. One caveat to that I would say is that sometimes when you're in the midst of work with someone and it's like you're trying to get things done, the conversations and the things that are being discussed are a little bit more like get things done oriented, as opposed to just like, what's on that person's mind, as if they were relaxed at a lunch and they're just like kind of more just open. And you know what I mean? So the discussions can be a little bit different. And so like, of course, if you have a really good discussion with a client and something comes out of it, make a piece of content out of it. But when people are just like more, the defenses are down, it's just, they're thinking out loud. The questions and the discussions can be a little bit different.
Really good point, because what somebody's feeling, thinking, doing, and saying could be all different things.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a really good nuanced point that you're making. That's definitely something to be aware of. Okay, so what I wanted to do was sort of switch gears just a little bit here, because I want to cover a few other topics as well. And you talked about sort of the content matrix. Is that something that's available on your site for download, or is that a link you could share that I could put that in the show notes just as a starting point?
You have to remind me, but if you do, I'll get it to you and your listeners.
Done. Consider that the scaffolding and put in your own topics and themes.
Sure.
So that will help you sort of get started. And then I think you made a really good point in terms of, you know, thinking about what people are saying in the moment versus what, you know, they might be thinking about when they're relaxed in the evening about the problem at hand. Now, the person's like, well, okay, got it. So I have a sense of what kind of content I want to make. I believe in the thing. Now, which platform do I start on? And how do I even consider these platforms? Because you have a lot of experience there.
I have a framework for thinking about that. I call this the opportunity matrix, right? So you have all these different opportunities, the platforms, and you're probably going to, if you're not on one, if you have never done anything, you probably want to pick one, because it's going to be overwhelming to try to do multiple. Like sometimes people try to go to multiple platforms before they've even made one work, and there's plenty of clients on one. So that's number one. So simplify your life, get really good at one. But then there's all these different characteristics for each of these, platforms, right? So TikTok, you have the virality, right? You can make a video, you can have almost no followers, and you can get a million views or more, you know, like, so, and so that's just a great opportunity right now. So I think there's like kind of like an obvious choice. People are going to have disbelief that TikTok will work for them, but it's really, it's a limiting belief. Your clients are there. Like, I get lots of clients that are well over, you know, from 35 plus most of my clients, and they just flood in, right? So, so that's just the way I look at it. So, like, and then LinkedIn. So LinkedIn's a great place too. You can get organic reach. You can get a lot of views with, so you can be connected to 500 people, but you could get 10,000 views on your post. That's what we call an organic reach, right? You can reach more people than you have connections. Now, LinkedIn is a networking platform that you're going to have to spend time networking with people as you would in a networking group, right? If you go to a networking group in person and you sit along the wall and you don't say anything to anybody, like, it's probably not going to work very well for you unless you just happen to be this unicorn, like, you know, that just happens to have this magic service that solves everyone's problems and they can just magically. So you're going to have to go interact with people. Otherwise, the platform just won't work for you. You could post content all day long and just nobody will know, because that's just the way the platform works. So you have to, like, if you're going to pick LinkedIn, it could be very effective, but you're going to have to go put 30 minutes a day reaching new people, commenting, not DMing them and saying, hey, can you get on a call? But like, finding people you care about, finding people you disagree with, and having those discussions, and then you will grow probably pretty quickly. And then there's like other platforms like YouTube. Like, those are great platforms, but you're going to have to be in there for the long haul. Like, you're not going to create a video and have people see it. Like, I've been on there almost a year and I'm just about to hit my 1,000 subscribers. So you're going to have a real long-term mindset there. And then there's a bunch of other platforms too. So that's the way I look at it. Like, do you have experience there? Do you have what it takes to be there? Do you want to network or not? If you don't want to network, then, you know, like, going to LinkedIn every day and looking at that gray, boring screen and spending 30 minutes to an hour is not everyone's going to be able to do it. And so if you know that's you and you're just not going to do it, then you know it's just not going to work for you. So you might as well go to TikTok, right? Or you might as well go somewhere else where you're going to, like, for me, like, making videos and doing that is kind of more fun. So, like, it's easier for me to perform well on TikTok.
I think you sort of touched on this topic that it's not only about you just posting content into the digital void, but it's also about you taking out that time to go engage with other people that you might agree with, might not agree with. You know, people that you look up to. Is there some simple tips and tricks that sort of you apply on a day-to-day basis in terms of, you know, engaging with people, let's say on LinkedIn, for example?
Yeah, I think you just have to be curious. You just start looking for like-minded people that you want to sell to, right? Or competitors, or like influencers in your space. So there's kind of like the three places you're going to search, like, customers, competitors, and influencers. And you're just going to start interacting with those people at the same time that you're posting content and giving your insight. And when you make a comment, it is content. So people are going to see your comment as if it's content. They'll see your tagline. They'll see what you're about. They'll start to see you. They'll be like, oh, Stephen Pope's all over the place here. But they're seeing it in the comment. And then eventually they're going to go look at your profile and then they'll migrate over to your content and they may or may not comment, you know? So like, that's kind of how it works. And like, all those comments, they're reverberating through the LinkedIn system and people are seeing that in their feeds, and that's how it works. And so what a lot of people end up doing is they sign up for one of those automated DM services that messages 1,000 people every month. And ultimately what they do is they burn 1,000 relationships very quickly, because we all get those incoming messages, right? It's like, hey, just connected with you and I'm pretty sure that you want my service, right? It's like, no, actually I don't. So those people burn 1,000 relationships in a month. And then, or you could just kind of nurture like 100 relationships over a couple months that kind of really blossoms into like a really strong network. So if you have a little bit of patience and you don't go in there thinking that you're going to go to client tomorrow, you could have a very scalable network within a couple of months.
Okay. So we've covered a almost like a full spectrum of from, you know, somebody who's at ground zero today is what are sort of the ingredients and elements required to get to from just having the belief all the way to, you know, not only just posting the content and picking at least just one platform to begin with, if you feel like it's too much to handle, and being okay with, you know, doing videos using your webcam or the phone that you have, then you're proof that you've done 30,000 just with your phone.
Not 30,000. I think I like 3,000. It's also like cutting up podcasts and stuff like that. So it's like, so that my system is set up to create a bunch of clips. So like after this video, I could make 20 different clips from this video, right? So like, that's how you reach numbers like that. If you, I didn't sit down and create 3,000 selfie videos. That would mean that, well, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe I've come close to that. A lot of it comes from like the repurposing.
I love the videos, by the way, the ones where you're wearing glasses. It's just so badass.
It's funny. I get such a mixture of those. Like some people are like, man, take those glasses off. And then other people are like, oh, I love the glasses. Like, so yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
In fact, this might be a good opportunity to talk a little bit about that. You know, you take something that's super boring, like automations and all that back end operation stuff, and you're making it cool in terms of how you're presenting it. Even with just your, it's actually not the content that's cool. It's actually your personality that makes that content like interesting and fun to watch. And like you said, you know, that takes time to develop.
Right.
It doesn't happen necessarily from day one. So what are the kind of things that you typically help people with? What do they come to you? What kind of requests do they come to you with? Just so that, you know, when people are listening to this, they're like, oh, okay, so if we need to outsource this or get somebody's help to come and teach us, then what to expect?
So it really comes down to this. There's like, you're at two states. You're not creating video yet, or you're creating video and it's not doing anything for you, right? So how do we make sure that video is actually making you money? And then once you've proven that model, then you can start to scale it up and do more things with it. So there are some clients where I've worked with them where they had not made video, and then they made a bunch of video, and then it started working for them, and then we started to scale it up. And then there's other companies that come to me that's like, hey, we've already got our video going. It's working for us. It's working great. But we don't have the systems and processes to do like the Gary V, Alex Hormozi kind of system where we can just really like proliferate ourselves across the internet to just have like mass exposure, which is the opportunity right now. Like there's so much organic reach on all these different platforms. So I help them think through all the mental frameworks, because it's not just technology. It's like mental understandings of how to position the content so that it can be repurposed in the most efficient way. Frameworks, processes, team, and then automations to just make that process as simple as possible, because it's really hard. I mean, let's just face it. It's like not easy to do. It's a chaotic process to just do all that much content. So I make it simple is the best way I can, as simple as it can be.
Right. And typically, and I know this answer might not be the same for everyone, but typically from the point that they reach out to you to getting these systems in place and getting them running, or like the time to value, typically how long does that take?
Yeah. So like if you came and hired me, like whether you buy like the initial program to get you off the ground or the one that helps you scale, then both of those take about 4 weeks to implement. And then we spend a couple of months kind of optimizing it. And then there's infinite optimization that can be done after that if you want to continue working with me. But it's usually like a 3 to 4 month process to get you launched and in the world.
Got it. So one is sort of the, I would call this like the consulting service that you offer. Are there also like coaching and any other programs and other services that you offer?
So yeah, so most of my programs are coaching and consulting, and I'm coaching you on content. When you're dealing with content, there's a variety of things that we'll end up touching on, like making the TikTok perform well, you know, video equipment, systems, automations, right? So there's coaching, consulting. And then I do some done for you consulting or done for you video editing for some clients. I'm actually a big, big believer that if you're going to do this, you might as well kind of like learn how to hire your own people and get a video editor. Cause you're going to do it it's going to be more intimate if you get familiar with a video editor and like develop your own style, and it's going to be more cost effective. But every once in a while, a client's just like, I just don't want to do it. And so I obviously have the systems to do it. So I charge a premium to do it, but I can do it. And so for some people, I do it.
Okay, fantastic. So I'm going to completely switch gears. So here's what's going to happen in the next just few minutes. One is, the first thing we're going to do is this activity called 3,000 questions all about me. And you have to basically pick a number between 1 and 3,001. And while you think of that, then the final leg of this podcast, the last few minutes, what I would want to do is have you sort of give any final thoughts, final words. So the first thing we're going to do is you have to pick a number between 1 and 3001.
Let's go with 1.
1? Okay. Yeah, nobody's done that before, but here we go. Let's go to it.
That's the marketing mindset. I was like, nobody's going to pick 1.
Love it. Okay. So the first question is, what brings me joy?
I like playing piano. I ultimately just like pacing around and like thinking about ideas and like solving problems. Like that's, if you see what I'm doing, I'm just solving these problems and then selling them. I like to create products. I like to be an entrepreneur. I like to be with my family, my wife. I'm a pretty simple dude. That's all I really do. That's it.
Would you be open to giving us a demo of 10 seconds of you on the piano?
Oh man.
Only 10 seconds. Nothing crazy. 10 seconds, just 10 seconds of your favorite notes.
You know what? One song I like is, I might have to take these off here. This is In a Sentimental Mood. All right? There we go. Did it come through?
Yeah, that was amazing. Thank you so much for giving us a demo. Okay, so any final words, and then where can people connect with you?
I think it's important that people understand how the world's changing. It's becoming a media-driven marketplace. It's becoming people are finding people on social media and buying from people on social media. A lot of the times when you go to search for something on Google, you're probably just typing in a brand name that you already want to buy from. And so people are learning about these people and these brands online. And so like, you want to be a part of this. You want to think of yourself as a media company that happens to provide, you know, products and services. And so if that's something that you want to be a part of, then feel free to reach out to me. You can go to my website, sgplabs.com, and you can book a call with me, or you can just type Stephen G. Pope with the PH in Google, and it's going to give you a bunch of stuff, and you can go wherever you feel like, wherever you like to go. You can go to LinkedIn, you can go to TikTok, you can go to YouTube and find me there, see what I'm all about, and then learn more about me that way. And then if you feel like there's some synergies, reach out to me.
Well, thank you so much.
This was awesome, man. I appreciate it.
This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I've definitely learned a few things for sure. Cool. And I'm looking forward to watching more of your content, and hopefully we will have a follow-up conversation in the future.
Yeah, no, I'm down, man. Like, we can do it. So appreciate you having me on. This was awesome. Great questions, and I enjoy your content as well. I'm looking forward to the future.
Yeah, love it. Thank you so much.
All right, man. See ya.